Again, we're going to do, actually, we're up to part three on the dreams series and talking about dreams. And tonight we're actually going to get into a little bit on how to interpret dreams and understanding a little bit more about them. So when we see things, we know what to pay attention to and what not to. And we'll get started with that. But as I do on Wednesday nights, especially, I like to share the gospel message right off the bat and just remind people that heaven is real. And they came out with a movie about it several years ago about a young kid that told this story of, you know, going to heaven and coming back. And it was a very, you know, interesting story, supposedly a true story, and very powerful and moving. But the reality is I didn't need a movie to know that, because I know the Bible enough to know that God had a plan and he set up a way for us to enter into heaven, to be with him for an eternity. And not only that, but to have heaven on earth where we can live an abundant life, where we can live fruitful and live a thriving Christian life here on earth as well. And all that was provided for through one man, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God sent him to the cross to bear all the sins of all of mankind, all of us, at one time, for once and for all, to bear those sins so that we may then enter in by faith in what he did for us. So we may not always seem to measure up in our actions and our deeds. We do our best. We try to, we live unto God the best that we can, but at times we do stumble. But our faith in Jesus Christ still allows that entry into heaven. That is the gospel message. It's good news. It means that it's based on Jesus and what he did, not so much on what you do and how you do it or what you don't do. But the one factor, the one part of that we are responsible for is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Okay, with your heart you believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe, we confess Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. That is our entrance to heaven. That is our life on earth. And that is how we became a believer. So praise God. To anybody that watches online, I pray that if you haven't yet received Christ as your Savior, that today would be that day. Don't wait another day. Why go through life not knowing where you'll spend in eternity? That's a horrible way to live. I'll just tell you, I lived that way. Been there, done that. 25 years of my life, I lived not knowing whether I was going to heaven. I thought I might because I tried to be a good person, but at the same time, I was well aware that I was not living up to the standard that God had set. So through faith in Jesus, we have that assurance of our eternal life in heaven. So praise God. With that, let's pray this evening. Father, we're thanking you again. Thank you for bringing us together as a body of Christ to be able to help us to fellowship and to just experience the friendship that can only come by true believers that are believing and following after you. And tonight, Lord, we pray, open our hearts and our minds to receive exactly what you want us to get from this message tonight, Lord, that we don't just hear words, but we hear a voice from you, Father, that you speak into our heart, you speak into our life in a way that makes sense, in a way that connects, as only you can do, Lord, with your spirit and our spirit connecting, Lord, that we are able to understand what you're trying to speak to us. And pray tonight, Lord, just help us understand how you speak to us through dreams, Lord, as we press into this topic a little bit more, Father. We're praising you for it. Thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So we've talked about some of the potential sources for dreams, kind of where they can come from. Okay, sometimes it can come from, remember, your body. Okay, so if you eat too much spicy chili the night before and you have kind of wacky dreams, it could be from that. Or if you take a medication or alcohol and drugs, some of those things can influence dreams because of what it's doing to your body. Okay, or it could be your soul. Okay, things that are going on in your mind. If you're feeling guilty about something and you dream about feeling guilty about something, it could be. It's just your soul is kind of playing some of that stuff out and you're helping to just understand what is happening in your life through your soulish realm. Another source that we've talked about some is that it could be God. Okay, and it's God's way of speaking to his people. He loves to speak to his people, and if dreams is one of those avenues, then that's why we press into understanding how can we be more influenced by God through our dreams. And the reality is, the more that we know, the more we can understand, the more that we can actually hear what God is saying. So we have those as sources. Another source that we haven't talked about too much yet is the enemy. Okay, and when he is a source of a dream. Now, some would say that the enemy, the devil, cannot specifically, literally give you a dream. Okay, so that he would not just, this is a dream from Satan to you. Okay, we don't know that that's necessarily even possible from reading scriptures and any of those things. What we do know is that the devil and his minions, his demons, can influence your soulish realm. So your mind, will, and emotions can be influenced by the devil, and your mind, will, and emotions can influence your dream. Therefore, your dreams can at times be influenced by the enemy. Okay, because if he can affect our soulish realm and kind of get into our head and make us think bad thoughts, he can kind of get into our dreams to a certain extent, okay, and be able to influence them as well. Some dreams that we have, that we receive, okay, they are spiritual dreams, but they're from the wrong spirit. Okay, and so we've got to learn to discern a little bit. Use the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern. Okay, they are the kind of dreams that may inflict fear. If you wake up, or even in your dream, if you're just trembling in fear, okay, that's a good sign that it's probably not from God. Or if your dream stirs up confusion, okay, you're just totally lost, confused. I'm not talking about dreams in general, because I don't know about you guys. I wake up from dreams, I'm like, what in the world was that? You know, it's all over the place. We're going to look at dreams tonight. I got at least one or two that we're going to go through that they're all over the place, but they really had a meaning. And if you start to piece it together and look at what some of the symbols and things meant, you can start to put even that kind of a dream. So I'm not talking about that kind of confusion. I'm talking about things where you're supposed to be going one place, but you're going another, okay, in your dream. You're confused, things like that. Sometimes that's not a dream that came from God. Another is condemnation. Okay, if you feel condemned, guilty in your dream, okay, Jesus Christ went to the cross to bear your punishment, to take all of your sin, okay, once and for all. So even in your dream, if you're feeling that guilt and condemnation, it may be that it's not from God, it may be from the enemy. Okay, I know if I have dreams that really don't make sense, I wake up and they're kind of confusing or whatever, if I write them down, okay, I'm going to talk about that more tonight, or if we tell somebody else about the dream, okay, and nothing is quickened. Nothing is really stands out as like, wow, that's God's message, what he wanted me to get from that dream. I usually don't give that dream much attention after that. Okay, it's just a confusing dream. It didn't really mean much. Probably was my soul just playing out some of the busyness in my mind, and therefore I'm not going to, you know, really press into that. But it's the, for, you know, I'll just say it again. It's the writing of your dream down or telling somebody else that really helps quicken it in your spirit. There's something about that, and I think it has to be with, well, I won't go into that, but I just think it's a lot to do with allowing your brain and your spirit to process it together. And when you're speaking it or you're writing it out, okay, you're helping that connection to take place so that you can get out of it. If you're supposed to get something, you'll get it. Okay, to kind of illustrate how to know if a dream came from the enemy or not, I'd like to read you a passage out of a book. Again, it's by Marcia Trimble Dunstan, The Complete Guide to Dream Interpretation. I've read out of this a little bit in the past. I want to read to you part of a dream and the explanation that went with it. Kind of long, so bear with me, but I'm doing it early in the evening so you won't fall asleep. Okay. So here's a way to understand, or a dream, and then she's going to describe how she knew that it was probably from the enemy and not a God dream or not even a soul dream. So when it comes to dreams, again, it's wise to ask, what is the source behind the dream? She's going to tell about, she already told. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we read a story about a woman named Jerry, who this lady interpreted her dream. The lady had she thought it was a real, literal dream. Her son got in a car wreck. He drove off a cliff in his truck and died in a dream. And so in her mind, in the lady's mind, she thought, oh my God, my son's going to die. Okay, Marcia ended up interpreting that dream, and it had nothing to do with her son dying. Okay, and it had nothing to do with him wrecking a truck. And that was all just kind of the busyness, her soulish realm is what that was. Okay, well, when they're trying to find the source of a dream, Jerry's dream about her son driving off a cliff could have been viewed as an enemy dream that aimed to inflict fear. So was it a soul dream rooted in her own fear, or an enemy dream meant to inflict fear? We can usually find clues that help point to one or the other. As I already shared, my previous experience with Jerry had proved that she was prone to extreme fear on behalf of her grown children and her young grandchildren. I believe that is the clue that her dream was likely brought on by her soul. a clue that a dream might be given by the enemy is when the dream includes hints of darkness or dark coverings on the people in the dream, as in the following example. Tom, a strong, spirit-filled Christian man, was a good dad. He had his hands full because he juggled two families, his sons by his first marriage, which ended in divorce, and two sons from his current marriage. Tom tried hard to meet the needs of both sets of offspring. One morning, he awoke confused and hurting from a dream, and he relayed the dream to me. Tom said, "I dreamed I was running and trying to get to my boys. They were in two different places. I knew they all needed me. I had to choose which group to run to. I chose the most urgent need, the two who were waiting for medication." In real life, the children did not need or take prescriptions, but they were healthy. "When I got there," Tom said, "I was too late. My sons were critically sick because I had not arrived in time with the medicine. As I was grieving over my sick sons, a man came into the room. He was dressed in black and had dark hair. He pointed his finger at me accusingly and said, 'Your other sons were injured because you did not get there in time to prevent a car from hitting them.' I knew he was right and that I had failed all of my children. I felt worthless and devastated, and then I woke up." So did God give Tom this dream, or did the enemy? Or had it originated from his soul? To determine whether Tom's dream originated from God, we ask, does it follow the character and nature of God as the Bible has revealed it to us? 23rd chapter of Psalms displays God's character as he relates to humans. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, in Romans, it says, "There is now, therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Okay, as these verses would indicate, God's character is to guide, to provide, to restore, to comfort, and do away with fear by using loving kindness and mercy. Tom condemned himself in his dream for not being able to meet the needs of others in spite of his best efforts. This does not sound like God. It sounds more like self-degradation or a soul issue or condemnation from the devil. So which was it? Self-degradation, or was the devil in the middle of this? I believe that this was a spiritual dream from the enemy because of the dark symbols in the dream. The man who appeared in the dream could be symbolic of an outside source or a spirit that was bringing accusation against Tom. His dark hair and clothes could be metaphors for dark covering on him. The dream was probably an accusation made against Tom by a force of darkness we will politely call the enemy. Poor Tom. As a child, he had suffered under the hard, controlling, abusive father. Because of his past experiences and in spite of his best efforts to let go of the baggage, Tom still struggled to see Father God as kind and loving and reverenced. When Tom first told me about this dream, he thought God had given him the dream to criticize him. Always determined to help God out, Tom then beat himself up pretty well. He told me that he felt like a failure, so much so that it threw him into depression. Why would the enemy give Tom this dream? What is the devil's purpose in giving any of us dreams or influencing them? The enemy's purpose is always to attack or to misdirect us. That is likely what he was trying to do to Tom. He likely sought to freeze Tom in order to keep him from progressing in life, to confuse him, or to instill a sense of worthlessness in him so that he would not be productive. And we know that 1 Peter 5:8 says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That is the devil's purpose in life. That's what he seeks to do, is to steal, kill, and destroy, to take away, to hurt, to harm, to bring fear and doubt and worry and stress and all those things into your life. And he is seeking whom he may devour. We can stand up against him. And we don't ever want to equate the devil's power with God's power. They're not even on a similar plane. It's like God's up here and the devil's way down here in power. They're nowhere near equal. Okay, but we certainly know that when it comes to dreams, that we want to be wise enough to know that the devil is real and that he hates us and that he wants to deceive us if possible. Okay, so if we don't correctly determine when the devil is influencing one of our dreams, then we kind of allow him, or we may allow him, to steer us in the wrong direction. Okay, I've done a lot of research and reading on dreams, and I know one of the most common ways that the devil influences people in their dreams is he gets them to take their dreams literal. Okay, if you dream about a person and you think it's about that person. Okay, that's one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're interpreting a dream, because a person in your dream is rarely that person in reality. You might dream about your pastor and it's not about me at all. It's about your relationship with God or an authority figure or a boss or somebody else in your life that has an authority or has that kind of a position. You might dream about your sister in the natural, okay, and it'll have nothing to do with, you know, your sister in the natural, but it'll be about somebody that is a sister in the Lord. Okay, it just goes on and on. People want to take it literal, but it's always, very seldom is it actual literal. Okay, so darkness in a dream, or heaviness, guilt, fear, condemnation, they're all signs that a dream may have been inspired or influenced by the devil. Okay, now another kind of shift gears on you a little bit, but another question that people sometimes have about dreams. We talked about visions last week, vision and prophecy and some of that stuff that is listed out in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about these things will happen. Okay, in the last days, my people will see the visions and dream dreams and prophesy. You know, the young maiden shall prophesy. So we talked about prophecy and some of those things. So what is the difference between a dream and a vision? Okay, the simple answer to that is that a dream comes when you're asleep, okay, and a vision comes when you're awake. Okay, if you have a vision, God-given vision, it'll be something you're getting while you're wide awake, okay, and you'll be able to kind of see things into the future. A second and more complicated answer to that is that visions deal more with what is. They're much more literal. Whereas dreams are more metaphorical, symbolic. Okay, they represent something else. Okay, dreams are very seldom, and I've said this many times, but they're very seldom in their entirety literal. Okay, now certain parts of your dream may be somewhat literal. You remember Joseph had a dream about his brothers? Okay, and in the dream he dreamt that it was harvest time, and they were, if you've seen the old style of cutting wheat, they took the wheat and they would pile it up into these sheaves, or is that what they call sheaves? Okay, where they kind of stack it up against each other to kind of dry out, and then they'd go shake the wheat out. Well, in his dream, it was about him and his brothers and their sheaves in the dream, and his brother's sheaves all bowed down in like they're bowing to his sheave, okay? Well, does Joseph have brothers? Yes. So that part of the dream was actual literal. But the dream had nothing to do with wheat or a wheat field. Do you get that? So part of it was literal, but the real gist of the dream and what it was really about was not so much literal. It did, some of it came to pass. His brothers ended up bowing down to him. So that literal part did come out of it. Okay, so knowing that a lot of what we see in our dreams is symbolic, okay, and understanding then the symbolism. Okay, understanding, being able to accurately identify and interpret what the things and the people and the colors and the places, understanding what they represent then becomes critical to being able to actually understand them. So we're going to look at several different symbols and kind of their meanings. I want to do some of that we'll get to this week, but a lot of it I think next week. I'll just tell you, if you want to actually bring a thought on a dream or something that you've had and had some things about it, it stuck with you for a long time, maybe you've been remembering, bring that and we will actually look up some of those symbols, some of the things. I'll have you tell us the dream, We can take notes on it, because I'm going to teach you how to take notes on a dream in just a minute. And we can take notes on it on how to actually understand what, or how to pick out the symbols, objects, places, people, all those things. And then we can start looking them up and inserting some of the meanings or the references to it and see how we come out. The most accurate way, and really the only way, to understand the symbolism in dreams is to allow the Holy Spirit to do the interpreting. Okay, because we can look up stuff in a book, or I've got dream dictionary kind of stuff. We can do all that, but it's really going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to be the one that quickens it, that makes it alive, that makes it like, oh, that's what that meant. I get it. Out of, because you'll see four different definitions for one word. You'll dream about a river in your dream. And we can look up river in the dictionary, and it literally will have four, five, six different possible things. And I'll read through those six things, and I'll get to like the fourth one, and I'll say it, and you'll be like, that's it. That's the one. That's what my dream was about. And it'll quicken inside of you, and you'll understand that that's the one that God wanted you to pull from that. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to do that. 1 Corinthians 1:19 and 20 says, if you want to look that up, I'll wait just a minute. We're going to do a couple of scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse 2. So 1 Corinthians 1:19 and 20. First Corinthians 1:19 says, "For it is risen. He is risen. Jesus is risen." Okay, that's not what it says, but it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." God says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Okay, again, 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 13. He said, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Okay, verse 12 says that we have received the Spirit which is of God so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Okay, dreams are given to you oftentimes by God. Okay, and in order for us to understand that, we need the Holy Spirit to connect with our spirit to be able to understand what he is trying to say to us at that time. Okay, when it comes to knowing the source of a dream or knowing the symbolism of a dream, okay, the best answer is always to pray and ask God to reveal it to you through his Holy Spirit. Start with that on any time you want to understand what was that about. I have so many dreams that I wake up in the morning and it just didn't really make a lot of sense. And so I simply ask, God, what was that about? Is that something you were trying to say to me? What do I need to take from that? And then just go about my day. And if I feel led, I'm supposed to go tell somebody, then I do that or write it down and those kind of things. But if you want to get that understanding, you first start by asking God. Now, some of the books that I have on dreams, this one included, has page after page after page of dictionary at the end. Okay, kind of like a, what do you call it, glossary? Okay, with all the different words. You can look up monkey. You dreamt about a monkey, okay, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 different definitions, possibilities, okay, and it's just got one after another. So lots and lots of symbols that are all, in this book especially, they're all based on dreams that were interpreted in the Bible. So they all come straight from that as far as what they meant in the dream, okay. So we looked at, she looked at Joseph's dreams and looked at David's dreams and looked at all these other things that went on and people that had dreams and what their interpretation was. And then you can begin to put the meaning of it into what you dreamt about. Or I'm not saying it very well. Let me just read my note. It includes page after page of dictionaries with definitions of symbols that are based on what the symbols referred to in the Bible passages that included interpretations of dreams. But even then, okay, when you look up something that you've dreamt about, you still want to pray and ask God for the truest interpretation. Okay, so like I said, you can read through it. Maybe I dreamt about a river and it's got six different definitions, and I read through all six and none of them stand out to me. Okay, even at that point, it's going to have to be God that shows me what that was really about in my dream. Okay, nothing gets past God. Okay, whether it's your body that gave you a dream, or your soul, or the enemy, or God himself, he will know. He will know what the dream meant. And if there's anything of importance that he wants you to get out of it, he's the one that's going to reveal it to you. He's our go-to source, right, when it comes to understanding what he wants to say to us. So with all the potential misunderstanding or misdirection or deception that could come through dreams, why do we pay attention so much? Why should we pay attention to our dreams? Okay, I think God can and does use other methods other than dreams to speak to us. He often does. He speaks through his word. How often does that happen? Whew, something gets quickened. You're reading it and all of a sudden it jumps off the page of you. God wanted you to hear that. Okay, well, dreams are one of his chosen methods of speaking to us. Okay, they're one of the ways that he wants to be able to get a message to you. So he uses them to give us guidance, okay, to give us direction, to give us warning at times, to give us healing, emotional healing, and understanding. Okay, if we deny dreams and say, oh, I'm never going to pay attention to that, I don't believe in all that, what we end up doing is rejecting a means by which God could receive some glory. Okay, and I want him to get all the glory that he can, especially in what he speaks to me and I hear something, I'm able to share it, give him the glory for it. He just gets praised even more. And I think dreams are one of the ways that many people miss out on a wonderful blessing that comes from God. I love to dream. I love to wake up. I go to bed hoping that I'll dream something that was a God dream. Okay, and I'm not searching in a bad way where sometimes you want something so bad that the devil will give it to you. Okay. And I'm not doing that, but I enjoy dreaming. And so I'm hoping that I can. I had dreams again last night, similar to things that I've had in the past. But, you know, for the last three nights, I had dreams, and I woke up from all of them, asked the Lord, what was that about? I don't really remember it. I bits and tiny pieces of it. And I asked him, is there anything I need to know? And go about my day, and nothing happens. I don't hear anything. Last night, had the same thing. Woke up again. Little bits and pieces of a dream. I really can't remember much, but I asked the Lord about it, and throughout the day, he began to show me and to speak to me about what I had dreamt about. So let me get this before we go too much longer. I want to give you some steps to dream interpretation. Okay, how do you go about, if you're going to, I know it gets kind of technical, almost like classroom-like for just a little bit. Bear with me. But I want to give you the actual, there's some steps that if we kind of follow it, it'll help you to understand things. I came up with three parts with seven steps. Okay, three parts to interpreting a dream, and then there's seven steps that make it a little bit easier. We break it down a little bit. So let me give you the three parts to understanding a dream to start with. It starts with revelation. Okay, it starts with the revelation. That's the dream itself. Okay, that's all that is. It's God revealed something to you through a dream. Okay, and I'm going to give some tips on remembering and recording your dream here in a few minutes. Number two, as far as the part of understanding a dream, number two is the interpretation. So first you get the revelation, then you have the interpretation. That is what the Holy Spirit reveals to you that the dream meant. What was it about? That's the Holy Spirit going to show you that. Then the third part of interpreting dreams is application. What do you do with what you now know? Okay, the Holy Spirit showed you something. What are you going to do with that information? Are you going to allow it to change your life? Are you going to blow it off? Are you going to write it down and reread it, you know, once in a while to remind yourself what the Lord was speaking to you. What are you going to do with that information and that you now know? Okay, so knowing that there's several parts to understanding and processing a dream, it helps us because we know that the interpretation of a dream is often not immediate. Sometimes you'll wake up and you're like, oh man, God's telling me this, this, and this. Most of the time, I don't see it, and as I study on this stuff, I'm not seeing that most of the time it happens right away. Most of the time, you're going to dream something, you're going to pray about it, you're going to meditate, you're going to, you know, maybe look at some of the, what do some of the symbols mean and some of that, and throughout your day or the week or whatever, it's going to begin to reveal more and more to you. I'll give you an example of that here in a little bit. Let me give you 7 steps. Okay, there's 3 parts to interpreting, understanding. Okay, that's the revelation, interpretation, and application, right? Okay, so now let me give you the 7 steps. Okay, these are things that if you do them all, you're in good shape. If you do even a few of them, it's going to help you a lot. I can honestly say I don't sit down and work through all 7 of these for every dream I ever have. Okay, but I definitely start with 1, and that is to pray for guidance from God. Okay, interpretation belongs to the Lord. Just always remember that. Interpretation belongs to the Lord. So don't even try to figure it out without Him. Okay, your own human brain will come up with something way goofy. Okay, so don't even try to interpret without God. Interpretation belongs to the Lord. 2, write down or read through your dream or repeat your dream to help you process it. Okay, if you remember what it is, like I said, I love to tell somebody about it if I think it might be a God dream, because then things are going to start being quickened as I tell somebody. Okay, but if you write it down, is a great way to do that. Many remember the story I told about a dream I had in the middle of the night, very vivid, knew it was a God dream right away. I got up and I wrote the entire thing down. Okay, and it was when I was up on the fiery volcano and I figured the way down, and as soon as I got to the bottom, I turned around and went back up to help other people find the way back down. Okay, well, I wrote all that down that night, and I kind of got the gist of it. I mean, it was pretty simple to understand kind of the gist of that dream. Okay, but a few days later, as I was reading through my notes, is when I really felt like it was then that the fullness of that meaning really sunk in. So even though I had a pretty good gist of it, to go back and reread it a few days later really helped that stand out in my life about the calling of my life for ministry. Okay, you in your dreams, you're going to want to note things like people. Okay, if there's other people in the dream, they're usually God, you know, life is about God and people. So we tend to want to pay attention to people. What did they look like? What were they wearing? How did they act? You know, what did they say? How'd they make you feel, you know, being around them? You want to pay attention to places. Okay, if you go someplace or you're at a, you know, you're in an open meadow, you're up in the mountains, you're going to a city, you know, is it a place that you've been before? Are you familiar with it? Okay, or is it uncharted ground? Were you inside or outside in your dream? That makes a difference when you're going to interpret. Was it someplace from your past? Okay, someplace maybe you had seen before. Okay, or is it someplace you've never been? I have had many, many dreams about being in big cities. Okay, and being on a campus, like a church campus or a college campus kind of thing. And oftentimes I think it's kind of funny, but they oftentimes involve food. Okay, something about the cafeteria in a college campus is usually where my destination is. I'm either late for a class, or we're on our way to a class, or I can't, you know, we got to go to a different part of the campus, and I'm traveling with people I don't know. I'm in the elevators and all these other things in dreams, but oftentimes it involves a cafeteria, okay, which sounds kind of funny. It doesn't mean that I like to eat a lot. I mean, that could be true too. That probably is one of the first places I would try to find on a campus, okay, would be the cafeteria. But food often represents a hunger, okay, and a hunger in particular, a hunger and learning for spiritual things, spiritual nourishment, in other words. So a cafeteria in a place of higher learning like a college indicates a hunger for spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. Okay, and knowing what I know about myself, that just kind of confirms things for me. Those are a confirmation dream we talked about last week. If you see objects in your dreams, okay, particular things, it is good to remember them. Okay, try to take a note about them, something that stood out about them. If it was water, okay, was it a river? Was it water out of a hydrant, a faucet? Was it a lake? Was it frozen? Was it hot? You know, what was it about that water? Okay, were there any animals in your dream? Okay, was there a table or a tool or a vehicle or a color? Okay, something that sort of stood out. One of the things in the kind of dream Bible, dream dictionary kind of things, one of the biggest chapters in that is on body parts. Because God created your body the way that He created it. Both we've got a full body that if you're dreaming about something with your hand or your foot or your head or your back or whatever it is, those play a difference when you go to interpret. So if you remember that, oh, I remember I hurt my hand, or I remember I raised my hand, or I remember, I put a hat on my head, or whatever it was, if you remember body parts, it tends to make it easier to be able to understand what your dream was about. You especially want to pay attention to your feelings in your dream. Okay, not when you wake up, not when you're like, I wonder what that was, because then you're kind of puzzled, confused, whatever. Or, maybe you wake up and you're in fear or whatever, but pay attention to how you felt in your dream. Okay, if you're with some people, were you afraid of them? Were you comfortable with them? Were you, walking arm in arm with them and it was kind of a good feeling that you had? Or were they speaking to you and what they said brought, anxiety or different things? How did you feel about what was going on? Your emotions and your feelings toward other people in your dreams gives clarity as to whether or not they were friends or enemies. Okay, whether it was a source of good or a source of evil. Okay, kind of a funny example, but one thing I think of is if you're walking down the street in your underwear in your dream and you're not ashamed, you're just walking down like nothing's going on, that means something totally different than if you see yourself walking through down the street and you're ashamed and you're trying to cover yourself up. Two completely different interpretations for your dream. Okay, so the actual feeling of how you felt at that time is what's going to be able to help you to understand the meaning of that dream. Okay, if you have peace in your dream, okay, or if you're anxious in your dream, it makes a difference. If you're confident, or if you're confused, okay, whatever it is, it'll help you to understand the true meaning if you can help recall how you felt in that dream. Okay, take a note as to whether or not you were an active participant in your dream, or whether or not you were sort of observing from above. It means something totally different. When you see things happening from above, it means something different than if you were physically engaged in that dream. Okay. Last part of that is to make note of the atmosphere of the dream. So was it cloudy? That if you're outside, was it cloudy? Or if you're looking out the window, was it cloudy or rainy or sunny? Or was it a blizzard on Tuesday or whatever it was? What was the atmosphere like in your dream? Okay, and then it helps to pay attention to how you felt immediately when you woke up. Okay, it's not always the best indicator, but if you wake up and you felt at peace about it, okay, that's different than if you wake up and you felt at fear or you felt guilty or, you dreamt about your spouse cheating on you and you wake up mad as a pistol at them, Okay, that's... Anyway. Number three. Did I tell you that? We're up to number three. I gotta finish this up. Look at and remember the beginning and the ending of your dream to help you set a scene. Help you set a scene. Okay, a lot of times we remember right what happened right as we woke up, but if we can kind of play it back to the point of where did that kind of goofy dream begin, then it puts it more of a scene that we can kind of piece that whole scene together. Okay, rather than just know the ending, we can know it from beginning to ending. The reason for that is because some dreams are so busy with so many symbols, so many objects, so many things happening in them, that it can be too cluttered if we try to just focus on the whole thing. We're like, oh, you know, what was that about? A lot of the symbols in your dream will actually have little to no meaning whatsoever. They're not going to mean much as far as the interpretation of your dream. Okay, as far as understanding what God wanted you to know. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to quicken or to make things alive, okay, so that we can understand what really matters. Give you an example, but if you're dreaming that you're in a high-rise building, okay, a skyscraper, okay, and you're on the top floor, and you're looking out of that top floor, out of a big picture window, okay, and you see a tornado coming towards you, and the tornado's spinning, and it's not doing any damage until it gets up to your car. And it takes your car, and it just spins it a 180, faces it the other direction. But it doesn't do any other damage. Okay, when you look up some of the meanings of the objects, you can start to get some understanding of what did that dream mean. Okay, being in a high rise on the top floor means that you're living in a high level of spirituality. Okay, you're looking through a window. A window means you're about to get some revelation. A tornado means that damaging trouble is coming or has come. The fact that it spins your personal car around, not everybody else's, okay, but one that you own or did own, and it takes that and turns it 180 degrees, would mean that your own life has been turned around by this storm. Okay, other things that were part of the dream, possibly, like maybe that it was raining, maybe the car was green, but the car you own was actually blue. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, even sometimes who you were with in the dream does not necessarily, those are not necessarily details that you need to understand what God wanted you to get out of that dream. Okay, so paying attention to the objects, the things that are in your dream. Okay, we may write down all the details of a dream. Maybe we'll write down the color it was green instead of blue. We'll write down all this stuff. But the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to show you what was really important out of that dream. Okay, number four. You got to find the focus of the main focus of a dream. What was the big picture? Then kind of the smaller stuff, the sub-focus, you could call it, and then the details, those minute, you know, it was raining, I was standing next to this guy, the car was green, you know, those are the more the details. Okay, and to kind of get you this, I want to read another little passage for you. It was written by a 77-year-old woman a few years ago, 2009. Might have to do a two-parter on part three here. We're getting a little long. So a 77-year-old woman, her name was Emma. I'll read you her dream. She said, I was visiting a friend's home. It was a big, beautiful home. I looked out and I saw lots of circles in the fields everywhere. I could see a long ways. I wanted to figure out what the circles were, so I went outside to view them. I was wading in water, ankle deep. There was a man walking alongside me. He said, I have come to look over my property. Do you want to go along? I agreed. I realized that there was water everywhere, and the circles were actually farmhouses sticking up on their foundations with water all around them. We walked together. The man said to me, no, do not go that way. There is a ravine there. Come this way. I looked out and I saw the dangerous edge, but I felt fine because I had listened to him. I said, I need to go home. I have got to drive back. He said, you cannot see the road. Where do you live? Emma said, Kansas City. You cannot get out from here. There is water over the roads, the man replied. Do you have a big house? Yes, I said. High ceilings? He asked. Yes. The man said, you must be enjoying that. In the next scene, I was back in the friend's house, but concerned and felt like I needed to go home. My friend said, but you cannot see the road. Stay here. Now you can teach. I said, but I do not have my stuff. My friend said, you can use my Bible. I knew I had to stay there and that it was okay, and then I woke up. Okay, so the main focus of that dream in particular, the main thing, the person, the main plot of the dream, you have to figure out what it is centered on. You ask, who or what was the main subject of the dream? Okay, was it you as the dreamer? In the case of Emma's dream, it was the dreamer. The main focus of it was her. Okay. Then you get to the kind of the sub-focus. What are the other parts of the dream? Those are the problems, okay, the issues, okay, the things that the dream seems to be dealing with. So they might be, in this case, a person, okay, kind of a place, might be a thing, okay, that the dream sort of pivots around. In Emma's dream, the sub-focus was the field, the water, the inability to get home, and being at a friend's big house. Okay, once you know what some of the focal points or the sub-points are, then you begin to break down the details. Okay, and the interpretation will start to come into picture with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that, in our number 1 through 7, that is number 5. Okay, that's when you look at the metaphors, the symbols, the colors, the people within that dream. Okay, in Emma's dream, the field might represent an overwhelming trial. Okay, it's a big, vast field. It's long. It's big. Her inability to get home might represent a concern about going back to her old life in Kansas City, okay, or going back to her old pattern of life, either physically or mentally. Her location of being at a friend's big house might represent a new place of existence where she finds herself. It is a place where her friend is also. Her friend in her dream was a Christian. She was a Christian. So they were on that side of things. Okay, and that gets to number 6. You start replacing the symbols with their meanings. Okay, so now we're starting to see there's all these, the field and the water and all these symbols. What do they mean? Okay, there's a lot of different symbols that could mean a lot of different things. So again, sometimes it helps if you just look at all the interpretations, all the definitions, and the Holy Spirit will help sort that out. If we were to look at Emma's dream again and start sticking in some of the symbols, the interpretation might look like this. The dreamer's life has or will have an overwhelming trial. She is concerned about going back to her old way of life, but she is unable to. This will result in her being in a new place, either physically or mentally. The details, the smaller parts of the dream, that understanding their potential meaning allows you to sort of fill in the gaps, because that one's kind of a bigger definition, to get the bigger picture by putting in more of the details. Okay, I want to read to you some of the potential explanations for Emma's dream. And you'll see what I mean about how it fills in some of the details. A friend could represent the Holy Spirit or Jesus. The circles, often a circle represents the covenant promise from God to earth. When you can see a long ways, it means understand much. And there's probably 6 scriptures for each one of these things that I'm reading now, where they came up with these meanings. Water equals overwhelming trials. It can also be God's word. Wading in ankle deep means going through trials. The man walking beside me, someone or some spirit besides the dreamer, because the man was felt to be good in the dream, is probably Jesus, an angel, or the Holy Spirit. When he said, I've come to see my property, that property means the earthly things that belong to him. The farm represents those who sow and harvest seed and fruit. The farmhouses are places to sow and harvest the word of God in others. Foundations, Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation. The ravine meant a low area of life that is hard to get out of. The edge was a dangerous divider, like walking on the edge, the tipping point. Kansas City would be her earthly home, from where her had come from. It was her past, her old life. She said she wanted to drive there. Drive means that you want to be in control of. Okay, you want to be in the driver's seat, in other words. The water over the roads means that there's trials hindering the pathway of life going forward. Okay, the flood. The big house is a fullness or a largeness to personal life and relationships. The high, he said, does it have high ceilings? High means upward towards God. Ceiling is a covering or a limit going to higher levels. So she said, do you have high ceilings? She said, yes, I do. He said, you must be enjoying that. Okay, it was a good thing that she had high ceilings. Okay, she said, I can't teach because I don't have my stuff. Her stuff would represent worldly acquisitions, okay, things that she had acquired while on earth. She didn't need that because the woman said, you can use my Bible, which is exactly what you think it is. It's God's word. Okay, you don't need those physical things you acquired here because you have God. You have his word. Okay, so the last part, I guess I'll end with this tonight. Number seven, if you keep track of the 1 through 7s, okay, is when you're looking at a dream, trying to figure out what things mean, and I'll go through more of the symbols and more of that stuff next week. But when you're trying to understand a dream, the very first one was to seek counsel from God, okay, seek him, okay, get understanding from him. The second, seven, last part, is to seek counsel again. Okay, you've already sought the counsel of the Holy Spirit, but do not neglect to seek counsel from a man or woman of God, okay? Because they are filled with the same spirit that you're filled with, okay? So he may reveal something to them about your dream that you did not see or hear, okay? The Holy Spirit is, we leave the interpretation up to him, okay? So when you're talking to somebody else who has the same Holy Spirit, he can speak to either one of you, okay? Margie and I do this a lot. We share dreams with each other to kind of get an understanding of it. Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about how to remember your dreams, what some of the reasons why we don't remember them, okay? If you have a dream, I can have them. The ones I had day before yesterday, I have no clue what they were, okay? That's how quickly they go away. You get busy with life and they just disappear. Well, there's ways you can remember them, but also some of those that go away, that's okay too. And we can look at some of the symbolism. We can discuss dreams that you guys have had. We can look up stuff if you have things that you'd like to, you know, maybe share a dream with the class or whatever. I call it the class. I feel like I'm teaching the old Bible college. We're okay. But we can look at some of those and see. I've had many, like I said, over the years, and I don't mind sharing some of mine, but I'm sure you guys have got some good ones too. And we can just look up some of the things and not necessarily, you know, come up with this is exactly what it means, but I'll bet between the Spirit of God within all of us, we could come pretty close, okay, and be able to say what some of these actually meant. So, but we'll do that next week, but let's end with some prayer tonight. Father, we just trust you again. Father, we know that your word is true and right and good for us, Lord. We eat it up. We thank you that you have nourished our body, that you give us some insight into what you're doing. And Father, we know that in the last days, you will pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. Okay. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, handmaidens will prophesy. We know that these things are happening right here, right now in our midst, Father. We just thank you that you are allowing your Spirit to speak to our spirits, Lord, to connect in a way that we understand more about you, more about life, more about direction, more about where to go, where to not go, what to do or not do, Father, because of you speaking to us. And so I pray that we gain it, we get it, we grab it, and hang on to what you're trying to teach to us even tonight, Lord. We thank you. Help us as we go through this week to get a clear understanding of you, Lord, in every area of our life and direction for our life, Lord. We praise you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we say amen. 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 Amen.